My friends, we celebrate, as I said at the commencement of the Mass, the solemnity of the Annunciation of the Lord. This is a feast of Christ. I know the accent is on Mary, but it is called the Annunciation of the Lord, the first announcing of God's plan of salvation in and through Christ, His Son. The agent of the reception of this announcement was a Blessed Mother on behalf of all mankind. Every year I seem to be called to draw closer to the Blessed Mother and to my understanding of her role in the plan of salvation. As though the Lord is saying to me, if you study my mother well enough, you will fully be able to accomplish what I intend for you to do. Mary exemplifies to all of us, my friends, pure and perfect humility in relation to God's plan. She should be our model in that respect, in every situation, good or bad, if we could be like our mother, praising God, thanking Him, recalling even the martyrs going to their death, praising God and singing. Even in our situation today, waking up every day amidst the changes, the chances, the things that confront us every day to break out in song and thanksgiving. This would glorify the Father to such a degree that He would shield you from all harm and all difficulty if you could love Him and thank Him above all things and worry less about the things that trouble you. For everything passes except His love. Nothing matters compared to His grace. And no prayer is pleasing to Him just like one of thanksgiving. For that was the lot of the Blessed Mother. Blessed be your name, Most High God. For the beauty and wonder of my being, I give everything I have to you, down to the very blood in my veins, everything, Father, to worship you, to live for you, and to do your will. That was the attitude of the Blessed Mother every single day. You do not realize how powerful such simplicity, such humility, how powerful that can come up to heaven like a prayer, even when you are not using any words. How you glorify the Father in the simplicity of your being when you just thank Him, even for everything you have, even for your difficulties, even for the crosses He has afforded you for a purpose. Because as we thank Him every day, those crosses melt away. Now let me explain the background to the Annunciation. I could go through the first reading and everything else, but I don't think there will be any point. I want us to focus on Mary and her yes to God, her yes for us, and why you should say yes to God every day, so that the things you consider difficult will become very simple and easy, even pass away if you can say yes from the gut of your being. Mary had been given the same grace as Eve and Adam. No human being compares to Adam and Eve because God gave them almost perfect grace. They had no understanding of good or evil. They had no knowledge of sin. They had no knowledge of any imperfection. There was no poison of sin in them. They were created perfect from the Father's love. So falling into sin was a very mighty fall for our first parents. God revealed to the Blessed Mother at a very young age the fall of Adam and Eve. In so doing, taught her the grace she was given, why she had to dedicate everything in her life to the Most High and His service. She did not fully know everything she was supposed to do, like the birth of the Christ. But in donating herself to God totally and completely, that was implied already. There was one reason for Mary's existence, to praise Him and to do whatever He wanted. Nothing more, nothing less. None of us comes close to Mary in that regard. That is why we have to go through her. She has to teach us perfect submission and obedience to God's will. Closeness to Mary is paramount, my friends, to all Christians. She has a gift to share with us that none of us has. And through her, we can overcome the poison of sin and rebellion. So when she was dedicated to the temple at the age of 3, she thought that was going to be her lot. Living in the temple, praising God, glorifying Him every day, was to her a perfect life. So from the age of 3, she said goodbye to her parents. She wasn't crying or weeping, her parents were, when she was brought into the temple and presented to the high priest. She was at home already, for angels were always around her, even from infancy. She was more at home in heaven, even on earth, unknown to us. So she lived in the temple till about the age of 13, 14. Her parents died while she was in the temple, and she could not leave. She was like a nun. You know, she didn't go for the funeral. She did not go to anything, but everything of her parents were left to her. Her parents lived in Nazareth. That is the house she was staying at when the angel came to her. So when she became a woman in the temple, the high priest revealed to her that she could no longer live in the temple. Every woman in Israel had to be married. You just couldn't be unwed. It was foreign to the consciousness of the Jews. Everybody had to have a husband. Every woman had to have a husband or be married. You could take a vow within your marriage with your husband, but you could not live without getting married. So Mary was kind of surprised, but she could not disobey the high priest either. So what the high priest did was to summon all young men of marriageable age who were from the tribe of Judah. Mary was from the tribe of Judah by her father, and the tribe of Aaron by her mother. Her mother was from the priestly family. So through her mother, she's related to Elizabeth and Zechariah. So every young man about the age of marriage was summoned to the temple. No one refused the high priest. If he summoned you, you showed up. Joseph was about 35 to 40 at this time. He was not married, so he was summoned to along with 14 to 15 others. So a husband had to be chosen for Mary. And this is what the high priest did. Using the staff of Aaron, which was always kept in the Holy of Holies, that staff was given to every of the young men who were summoned to the temple. When it was handed to Joseph, he sprouted, fulfilling the ancient prophecy from Isaiah, "A shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse." That is how Joseph was chosen. The high priest explained to him that Mary had told him that she had taken a vow if he would respect it. Joseph had to talk to Mary, and Mary explained to him what had happened. He himself was a Nazarite. That means Joseph was not taking any strong drink. He would not cut his hair. He was a carpenter. He had also personally taken on a vow of chastity. So he told Mary he would respect her vows and he would stick to his. But they would both be obedient to God's will. So they were betrothed in the temple. Betrothal was almost like a marriage. It wasn't the marriage celebration, but it was legal. It was done in the temple before the high priest. Joseph was beautifully dressed on the day chosen, and they were betrothed in the temple. And Joseph took Mary back to Nazareth, having gone back to clean the house and set everything in order, and brought Mary there. And then he left to go back to Jerusalem and bring his stuff. Said he would be back in 2 months or 3. So that they could actually celebrate the wedding. While Joseph was away is when the angel came. Mary was doing what women would do at that time, kneading and praising God and praying. And suddenly the house was filled with the divine fire. There was an array of angels led by Gabriel. There were so many. When Gabriel said, "Hail, full of grace," all the angels prostrated to Mary. This is why she was troubled at such dignity afforded her by the greeting of the angels. She was suddenly enveloped by this mighty army from heaven, resplendent in glory and light. She did not know if to kneel to them, but they all prostrate before her, for she has always been Queen of Heaven. Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. You have found favor with God, Mary. Do not be afraid. This is the Father's plan. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. Gabriel begins to address her. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David his father. He will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be? I am not supposed to have relations with a man. I have taken a vow of perpetual chastity. How is the baby supposed to be born? How is that going to happen?" So Mary is still a child. She doesn't understand all that. I'm not supposed to have relations with a man. So how is this baby to be conceived? The angel explains to her how it was going to happen. She did not doubt. Her question is much more like the question of a child. "Explain to me how this will come about." "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary." And as the angel said it, so it was happening. Heaven touched that woman at that point. "The Holy Spirit will overshadow you, Mary. The power of the Most High will accomplish this design. This child is not to be conceived due to human passion, not to be conceived out of human desire. Nothing of man will mess with this process. It will be the work of God the Father and the Holy Spirit." "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Was only the title for the Messiah. The Son of God, or Son of Man, was a divine title. All of Israel knew it. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." The two things I want you all to pay attention to at this Mass. The first will be the words of the angel to Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary." Our culture is in the throes of a great panic. A panic set on by uncertainty, by a virus, by something that has defied science today, in spite of the achievements of the positive sciences. We have no answer to a virus that ravages all of the world and frightens all of us. And we are afraid. Many people are. And I wonder why. For we cannot master the virus. This virus has mastered us, killed many, and hangs over our heads like the sword of Damocles. We are not quite sure when it is going to fall over us and kill us. It is very funny to me. For somehow, somewhere in there, we are afraid. Not afraid of the Most High. Maybe not trusting that the Holy Spirit can shield us from it. When we hear of deaths here and there and everywhere, we're frightened. Even the words of Scripture completely desert us. We find no comfort, no strength. We turn to this and to that and the other, instead of to turn to Him. "Do not be afraid," the angel said to Mary. Mary was taken aback by the sight of all the angels. She was not afraid just of Gabriel. I'm telling you, there was a ton of angels present. It was a sight to behold. So this sight startled her. She had never seen so many. Heaven was present to her at that point. So she is visibly terrified, or shaken, if you like. So Gabriel addresses her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor in God's sight." And I say the same things to you, my friends. Do not be afraid of this difficult time. There is nothing to be feared, not sickness, not the virus. There's just one to fear, God, who can do all things. We can make big things become small and small things become mighty. What our age does not remember is that history is in God's hands, not in the hands of men, however powerful we claim to be. What is happening now proves that fact. All we need to do is to turn back to Him. The president has said it occasionally, some people have sporadically. It is about time, as a nation, as a people, to go back to God who can do all things, who can just frighten this virus and put it back where it belongs. But we need to call Him. We need to be consistent in asking Him to help us. We do not need to give up. The next word, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Every miracle is effected by the agency of the Holy Spirit. And I think that to many of you, the Holy Spirit doesn't make any sense. It is not funny, but forgive me. Whenever God has acted in history, His action is always preceded by the Holy Spirit. In Genesis 1:1, before creation, the Spirit hovered over the waters, over the deep, over the confusion. Then God spoke, "Let there be light." And there was light. Before the patriarchs and the prophets could say anything in God's name that constitutes the Old Testament, the creed says the Spirit came down upon the patriarchs and the prophets and spoke through them. Before Mary conceives the Christ, before God's divine intervention in the direction of human history, the Spirit overshadows Mary first, before the fulfillment of the Father's plan. Even before Jesus begins His ministry, He is baptized in the Spirit right after stepping out of the waters of the Jordan. The Spirit comes upon Him and declares Him the Messiah. Before the church is born, the Spirit comes down at Pentecost. Before every healing, the Spirit must come. Why don't you develop the attitude of invoking that Spirit every day? The secret has been given to you. The Spirit of God can triumph over every adversity, every situation. With God, all things are possible. The Spirit will come upon you, and what man thinks is impossible will be possible by the agency of the Spirit. So whenever you're faced by a situation that cannot be explained away by man, anything that defies human understanding, that is when you need to revert to the Spirit. Consciously ask for the Spirit's intervention. Many of us never get to that point.
It is the Spirit of God that can help us to very difficult situations. So in this text, there is so much to learn. Mary questions, "How am I to conceive without the agency of a man?" The Spirit will do it. And I tell you, my friends, the Spirit can do all things. For the Spirit is the Spirit of the Father. And that Spirit has been given to you and I at baptism. That Spirit is behind what we do in church. If it is left to just men and women, this would make no sense. The Spirit of God, or the Spirit of Christ, makes this possible. Takes this way beyond us. Takes us into heaven. This is not just social, this is not just happenstance. This is the work of the Father, through the Son, in the Spirit. That is the secret to the Christian life. That is the reason why we should not be afraid, if we understand what we have and what we possess in Christ. When Mary realized all that the angel had explained to her, what the Father had planned, even the angel gave her a proof, so to speak. Now, imagine Elizabeth was in her 70s at this time, maybe 75. You do not realize how shocking it was for her to conceive. Mary is like 14. Elizabeth is like 70 or 75. No one is thinking she will ever conceive. Now, the mother of Mary was about the same age when Mary was conceived, so that you could not claim that the work was the work of really Joachim, because they were all old and dry and gray. It was really a thing of great laughter.
for Elizabeth to conceive. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. Now, what constitutes old age for us today? She was really old. If the angel said it, she is old, she is old, well past the age of bearing a son. Do you believe that she conceived at that age? That is something that defies science, even then, even today. Elizabeth has conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. Now, no cell phones, no means of communication. So Elizabeth cannot tell Mary what has happened. The angel does. Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." You understand why Mary visited Elizabeth. She must be in trouble. She's old. She needs help. I need to go immediately to help her. That's why Mary goes and spends 3 months till John is born. And she returns. So Joseph must have joined her later. So it is when Joseph comes back from that trip is when he finds out that Mary is already showing. Within 2 or 3 weeks, and he doesn't know what to think. And the Blessed Mother does not want to claim any. You know, how do you tell someone that you have become the Mother of God? Why Mary could not tell Joseph was because she is very humble. How could you tell your spouse you have become the Mother of God without sounding as though you're claiming anything for yourself? And that is why Mary asked God to help her. She doesn't want to talk about it. And the Holy Spirit said, "I'll tell him. When he is ready, you forget about it. Don't say anything about it." If it is in our own day and time, someone will put it on Facebook first, and then on Snapchat and all the other chats around, tell everybody, "Look at me, I am the Mother of God." We seem to gain approbation from every hopeless person around the globe. The last person we go to is God, thanking him. We crave the affirmation of people so much today. Why? Rather than kneel down and thank him first, and then you can tell people after 2 weeks, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word." And the array of angels left her. Mother Mary has given us an example of humility and total trust in God. And that is the way through these difficult times. God knows why all this is happening. Trusting him and staying close to him is the way to overcoming it. Turning to him in prayer and thanksgiving is wonderful in these days. Thanking him even for the confusion. Don't worry about the people who have died. Thank him that whatever is happening is according to his will. Well, it has been brought upon us by humanity. God has allowed it. We caused it. If you look at it spiritually, you'll see how these things happen. It is sin that results in viruses like this, that ravage us. But they serve to help us wake up from sleep. And many are not waking up from sleep. But anyway, my friends, 2 things. Do not be afraid. And it will happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. With God, all things are possible. Live every day trusting in those words. Do not be afraid. With God, all things are possible. Let us pray. Oh, we need to recite the creed.